The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Whoa, like, what exactly is happening here?
89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield.
You're listening to The Talk, talk radio for the masses, here on WTBR-FM 89.7. And now, let's talk.
Forgot the microphone.
I forgot to turn the microphones on.
Nice call.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry.
There's a wake-up call.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Great, now everybody has to go take a shower.
There's a wake-up call.
I'm sorry.
You're not supposed to try and barf on a microphone, Mom.
We can't even get our stick out of it.
It was a little bit of a... just a tiny bit gasp.
It's Wednesday morning, and you know what that means.
It's time for the talk and AEW.
AEW later, yes.
Yes! Because it can't be a Wednesday without AEW. Come on now.
Can't be Wednesday without the talk either.
Cole.
Tonight. Oh, God. Baby. Adam Cole, baby.
Yeah, Adam Cole's coming back on tonight.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, but that's not the subject we're here
no,
to
don't care. Today. Don't care. Go ahead. That's
off for another show.
Yeah, seriously.
Excuse me.
Yes. Can I help you?
Yeah. I thought it would be fun.
Okay. So, today's show.
Today's show,
we're going to go over some Easter eggs and mistakes and things you probably knew, but we're going to tell you about anyway. And if you didn't know them, you're going to learn them about movies and television.
For example,
the opening of Jaws, where the chickie is swimming in the ocean.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the shark pulls her down.
Mm. Yep.
Yes.
Right? Well.
Yes.
The thing with that is that there were two grips on either side of her and ropes around her, pulling her to either side. It looks like she was thrashing.
Yeah.
And they broke her ribs. So the screams you hear on TV... or in the film, are real.
Yeah.
Oh, talk about someone being hurt during a movie shoot. Brendan Fraser. The part where he is actually being hung by his neck in The Mummy. They broke his neck.
Yeah.
They really broke this kid's neck.
Yeah, he ended up with a fracture. I think it was down between his shoulder blades from it.
Yeah.
Because he decided to go ahead and do that, you know, the dead man hanging.
Yes.
And they advised him not to do that in full weight. All you heard was crack. And
the look on his face was sheer terror. And then the object was, as he was still hanging and swinging, rather than them walk up and numb down quick. So the more he thrashed, the more pain it was going on him, he said. It was unbearable.
Yeah, really? They didn't cut him down fast enough.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You researched this, didn't you?
I'm actually, to tell you the truth, I'm a mummy movie freak. I love the movie. and I was not happy with part three of the character that played his wife. Yes, she was okay, but she sucked.
Because it was the one that actually plays Evie, that's why.
Yes. I didn't find the chemistry was
She didn't find the character off. Change in the chemistry, but chemistry yeah. was not
well,
there.
That's like Last Man Standing, right?
Yeah.
Because in Last Man Standing, when they got canceled.
Yeah. The one who played Mandy.
The original Mandy had signed on for other things.
She signed on for the show that Eve went ahead and was in for Hulu.
Right. So when they came back to Fox Network,
and she said,
I can't think of her name.
What's her name's daughter?
Cassiopeia's daughter.
Yeah. I can't think of her name either right now.
Yeah, the one that played Cassiopeia in the original Battlestar Galactica in 1976.
Yeah, I can't think of her name right now.
It was her daughter that...
Became Mandy, yeah.
Became Mandy. So getting back to Jaws, Roy Scheider ad-libbed the line, and we all know the line.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
You're going to need a bigger boat. Why? Because that was the first time he actually saw the shark.
Yeah.
Yep. Steven Spielberg kept the shark a secret until that scene, and Roy Scheider ad-libbed the line, "You're going to need a bigger boat."
Yeah, too. And so that way, the Truman's reaction is, you know, that terror and everything that you want.
Oh, sure. I mean, you're...
To see.
Think about it. I mean, we ended up with one of the greatest horror films of that time. I mean, it made you not want to go in the water.
Yeah.
It did exactly what you wanted it to do.
Exactly.
The only thing back then that I was safe to do was to go ahead and go thrash around in a smaller pool.
Mm.
I didn't go to the lake.
There is also, Aliens. Ridley Scott went ahead and did the same thing with the chest burster alien. He didn't let anybody go ahead and see it.
For John Hurt.
Yes, he did not let anybody go ahead and see it. And when he cued them to hit the button to let out the chest burster, that scene where the blood hits the chick and she falls down, and where she faints, that was her actual reaction. She saw the darn thing, and she literally went ahead, threw up and fainted.
He got a look.
It was her actual reaction. I'm like, holy crap, when I read it. I'm like, really? You did that to your people? That's horrible.
Well, think about it. And then he redid the same thing as a joke.
I was just going to say that in Spaceballs.
Yes.
The little monster.
He comes up.
Oh, no.
He comes up. Oh, no. Not again.
All right.
They holler, check, please.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll do some of these. You know, in Star Wars, there's a couple of them.
I don't know.
Blatant.
You want to do yours?
Well, you got yours?
I got mine. I can.
All right, well, we'll get to it.
Do you do yours first? All
right. Well, in Star Wars, we know that the one scene where the stormtrooper hits his head.
Yes.
All the incarnations of that film that's ever been produced still has that in it.
Yeah.
But here's one in Return of the Jedi, when Lando is in Jabba's palace.
And Lando is in the costume.
In the
guard costume.
Yeah, whatever costume he's in. He did the same
thing. Yeah, the guard costume. Oh.
And that's still in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, and they actually made it a genetic trade for Jango Fett to explain it. why the stormtrooper went ahead and bumped the top part of it, because when he gets into Slave One, he goes ahead, he bangs his head on the top of the darn thing. It's kind of funny.
And also in Star Wars, and if you look closely, you can see it when Darth Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi have the lightsaber fight.
With the
sticks they were using before, you know, back in 1977, they scratched out the film and did it with magic marker. But if you look closely during the lightsaber fight, and George Lucas told Alec Guinness and David Prowse not to hit the sticks too hard. But if you watch the film, in the lightsaber fight between Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader, you can when the lightsabers hit, you can see the dust flying off the lightsabers.
Yeah, you can see the dust particles go ahead and come off of them.
And that was never fixed. It's still in all the productions since 1977.
Yeah,
George never took that out of the DVDs and the remastered stuff that's been put out, special edition
and whatever other edition there is.
The only thing that I always thought was kind of weird, and you manage, if you listen, you can hear their swoosh, 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 and it comes out of the actor.
No, they actually went ahead and told, they had to literally tell John Boyega and Adam Driver not to go ahead and to do that.
You can see the look on, I mean, you I'm talking can, about the way they, it's not what they're saying, but watch their mouths.
Yes. They were told don't do, they were told not to do it. And Ian McGregor was told not to do that. Why? Because you can see him go ahead and you can see it on her face.
Yeah, you can see the watch a couple of they even them told, closely.
They
and
told
look
Laura
at their
Dern,
lips. You can literally see their mouth moving.
They told Laura Dern, don't go ahead. And you can see it in Last Jedi. They told Laura Dern, don't go ahead and do it when she fires her blaster. But you can literally go ahead and see her mouthing the sound.
It's still in the movie. That's all right. One of the Ewoks in the scene where they capture Han and Luke and them. When you see one of the Ewoks taking the blaster from Han, you can see human fingers.
Oh, he forgot the gloves. The person forgot the gloves.
Oh.
Yeah.
Every now and then there's a little bit of a mess up, and then you catch it, and you're like...
It's funny pointing those out. It's kind of...
All right. So, in Friends, we're going to start with Friends.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
The writing on Chandler, Matthew Perry, and Joey's Matt LeBlanc, magnitudinal changed across cuts, perhaps to reflect what politeness forbade them from telling Ross.
Mm-hmm.
That was in episode, the one with all the wedding dresses.
Oh, yeah, it had all kinds of different words on it and everything. Yeah.
The last one, season 10, episode 18. To begin at the end, let's take a look at Phoebe's Lisa Kudrow and Ross's David Schwimmer climatic rush to the airport to catch Rachel, Jennifer Aniston, in the series finale. Some extras standing behind the pair at JFK, note the headscarf, also appeared behind Rachel when the episode cut to her at Newark Airport. If only Phoebe and Ross could have teleported that easily.
They forgot to remove the scarf. Oh, that's funny.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Not too bright, huh, cupcakes?
No. That was a costume problem.
Well, for the longest time, I want to know what in the world that Lando was walking around with Han's outfit.
Yes.
Yeah, we never got clarity on that.
We never got a clarity on that.
What was going on there?
Were they stupid or was it,
I don't know.
There was a spare. Okay. He just needed to change his outfit.
All right. So
maybe.
Back to Friends. The one, episode 5, or season 5, episode 23, the one in Vegas. Perhaps this episode's editor had a keen sense of irony as Joey told Chandler about his hand twin. He pointed at Chandler's Chandler with his left hand, which switched to his right hand in the next shot. The one with George Stephanopoulos.
You forgot what hand.
The one with George Stephanopoulos, season one, episode four.
Oh, George Stephanopoulos?
Yeah. In this early installment, Ross, Chandler, and Joey attended a hockey game where Ross wore a foam finger that later disappeared. That's unfortunate for Ross, as the finger could have cushioned the blow of the puck that hit him in the face later in the episode.
Yeah, what happened to the foam finger?
And the one where Ross finds out, season two, episode seven, as Rachel learned that Ross and his girlfriend Julie, Lauren Tom, were getting a cat together, her necklace appeared and disappeared across cuts. Perhaps this was meant to symbolize Rachel's rolling inner turmoil as she struggled to suppress her feelings for Ross.
She might have went like this, and in 1 minute it was there, and then next minute she was going like this, and, you know.
No, what they're saying about cross cuts is when they cut.
Exactly.
So they do what they do in the scene. Something messes up in the scene, or they retake it, so they cut, they do it again, and the necklace is gone. They do the scene again, the necklace is back.
Maybe they were just stupid.
Right, the one with Rachel's date, season 8, episode 5. The perils of transitioning to widescreen TVs here at the edges of the frame, which were cropped out when Friends originally aired, reveal Courtney Cox's stand-in taking her place.
Oh, my God. Really?
Mm-hmm.
The one with the mugging, season 9, episode 5. This episode is rife with errors, with another glimpse of the stand-in along with bottles changing to cans in Joey's hands. He was raiding Chandler and Monica's apartment for something to drink for an audition. Maybe Joey had unknown talent as a magician the whole time. The one with Rachel's inadvertent kiss, season 5, episode 17. More evidence for Joey the musician theory, magician theory. His purple buttoned-up shirt changed to a black zip-up top in the time it took for Ross to open the door.
Wow. Talk about mess-ups. Talk about really bad continuity mess-ups.
The one with the sweater, season 8, episode 2. After Monica unwrapped one of her wedding presents, the gift was wrapped again in a later shot, as if it was trying to resist being opened without Chandler being there. Alas, she opened all the presents without him.
Yes, that was rather stupid.
So there's some, and the other one that's not in here, that in the beginning episodes, Rachel or Monica's apartment was number 5.
Yeah.
In the later episodes, it moved to number 20.
Yeah, because they realize it's not that high enough to have a balcony on the back.
Exactly. One thing that everyone should understand, in one of the episodes, Joey was, Chandler, opens the door, turns around, says to him, well, that's what you get for jumping on the bed. Reason for that episode coming up, and explaining why he was jumping on the bed, is because eventually you were going to see him with a shoulder,
arm sling.
Arm sling. What he did what my husband did. My husband did it playing football. He went ahead and he did it.
No, what it was is...
Broke his collarbone.
No, you're close. The episode beforehand... where he's jumping, were the tuxedos?
Yes, they were battling over the sofa chair.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Joey jumped in the chair,
he landed wrong.
He dislocated his shoulder.
No. Yeah.
And then the next episode they filmed was that one with him jumping on, with the opening with him jumping on the bed and Chandler saying, "That's what you get for jumping on the bed."
Yeah, they had to explain why he was in a sling.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So they had to record that part to explain why he would be in the sling.
So here's some Easter eggs from ER.
Ooh.
Mark Green's daughter was...
Rachel Green.
Rachel Green.
Rachel Green. He spelled Rachel with one letter away from actually Rachel Green from Friends.
Yep.
In Friends, after Rachel falls putting out, taking down the Christmas lights.
Light, yeah.
The doctors that they go see are none other than George Clooney and Noah Wyle.
Really?
Yep.
And then there's an episode later with
Dr. Doug Ross with Dr. John Carter.
Right, but they weren't Doug Ross and John Carter in the episode, but it was
something else.
It was George Clooney and Noah Wyle. And then there's an episode of ER where Dr. Carter is talking to this surgeon in the dark.
Yes, a sleeping surgeon.
You never see his face.
No, you don't.
But if you listen closely, you'll recognize the voice. It was none other than David Schwimmer, Ross from Friends.
Or you played a clip and somebody just sits there and goes, that's not him. That's not him.
Yeah,
that's not him.
I had to play the clip for Darlene like 5 times because that's not him. And I actually had to show her where it said that was actually David Schwimmer.
Yes.
I think probably because I didn't have my bugs in. Because sometimes some of the sounds sound kind
of
muffled.
And also on top of that, he wasn't doing, at a higher pitch like he usually does with Ross.
All right, so.
It was a lower, sleepier kind of pitch.
You have, now we get to the creepy portion of the program. you may want to step out for one of these.
You might want to step out for one of them.
But you have, actually.
Yes, I do.
Some curses from a couple of the movies like Damien, Poltergeist.
Omen, and, Poltergeist, and of course and, the one
and of course
that...
the one that you really don't like at all, Linda Blair and The Exorcist.
Yeah.
You do that one, just let me know and which part I will exit.
I'll let you know.
So, she does not do The Exorcist. She has a problem with the movie.
It's a personal problem.
The
funny part about this is, real quick,
yeah.
When I was a little kid, I was scared to death of horror films.
Yes.
I couldn't watch Godzilla movies.
No.
Back in the day. We're talking about the old Godzilla from TV Tokyo.
Yeah.
The black and white stuff.
Yeah.
Right? So in order for my mother to get me out of that,
yeah,
she took me to the theater. And we sat and we watched The Exorcist.
Yes.
And when I left that theater, I was no longer afraid of horror films.
No.
So that's the one thing she did to me by breaking me on horror films is getting me to watch The Exorcist.
I think what it is because Mom is, religious and everything.
All right, so
I think that's what it is.
While we still have time in the half hour,
yeah,
go ahead and do your thing.
Okay, first one, of course, Poltergeist. You have... of course, we all know about little girl
Heather O'Rourke.
That supposedly was part of the curse. Of course, the rumor about the plastic, the plastic cadavers being actual cadavers. That's not good.
Yeah, the skeletons in Poltergeist were actually real skeletons because at the time it was cheaper to get real skeletons than it was to buy the plastic skeletons. And real quick, I want to bring one thing up before you do your thing because you're going to take the rest of the time.
Yeah.
In The Temptation of Christ.
Oh, The Passion of the Christ.
Passion of the Christ. Mm-hmm. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
Yes.
The guy who played Christ was struck by lightning twice.
Yes, he was. And a harness where he was, that they used for when he was whipped, it slipped. And he ended up getting the full brunt of one of the cracks with a whip. And he ended up needing, I think it was 16 stitches.
All right, so
for it.
You got
that's
6 minutes.
Terrible.
Exactly.
Do your thing.
Yeah. You also, there was, of course, you know about the omen. One of the guys had a car crash, and on a marker it said where he crashed was Omen, 66.6 kilometers, and that was completely insane.
That's terrible.
One of the tigers in the scene, the safari scene,
Yes.
Tiger went ahead and mauled its trainer for no reason. This is a tiger that was calm, complete. They used him because he was calm.
And they couldn't understand.
They couldn't understand why he went ahead and lost it and went after the trainer. A trainer that he's known since a cub. And he completely lost it and went after the trainer. One of the Rottweilers went ahead and did the same thing. Helicopter crash. Okay. Ended up killing one of the cast members. I forget which that was in the information I found, but that happened. Mm-hmm. I'm like, excuse me, what? And then they're going on, there was no curse on the set. Bull crap. Buffalo bagels. Anyways. This part, you might want to cover your ears or out.
Actually, I shall return.
Because
I shall return. Lady has...
Yeah, she does not do this.
Lady has an issue.
Yeah, she doesn't do...
No, Lady has an issue.
And we love her. We accept this. We don't do this. Anyways, earlier on... the set in New York, which had the interior shots of the McNeil House, were destroyed in a fire when a bird flew into the circuit breaker. With the exception of Reagan's room, which is where the exorcism took place, obviously, in the movie. That was the only one where it was not burnt. The statue of the demon... was delayed for 2 weeks. They almost didn't have the statue. Linda Blair's lower back, near her hip was fractured because of the mechanical bed she was strapped into. The harness came, lacing on harness came loose, and when they hit the power switch to go ahead and do it, her lower back was fractured, and the screams you hear are in the movie. And the thrashing she does. That's actually in the movie. That was actually her. They didn't cut. They didn't do anything. That was actually her. So that part, you literally see her back breaking. The other part was, it was the actress who plays her mom. She was completely flung. She was attached to the wire. They pulled the wire. When she got flung, her back broke. So that's two back breaks. You had the director. One of his family members died. Linda Blair's grandmother died when it came out. And it's just insane. It was just completely and utterly insane. But here's the thing. They actually had a priest go ahead and they wanted to do the exorcism on the set. He said, no, I'm not doing it. No, I'll bless it. He blessed the set. The sister comes back and goes, there was no curse for the exorcism. There was no curse. But the Jesuit's apartment went ahead and caught on fire after he did it. Coincidence? I think not. And quickly. But yeah. And also, there's been a lot.
All right, and that takes up.
I'd have to go over the rest of it next week or something like that. Yeah,
we'll do more next week. For Darlene, Jesse, and me, we are out of here. And
hey,
we'll see you.
Peace, guys.
Next week.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
Just give it.
Really?
I got this over here. There we go. We can close with this.